This is the Locked On Bengals podcast on a Wednesday. I'm James Rapine. Great to be with you late again today. Sorry I got this podcast up late, but Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com, joining us in just a second to talk about the combine. He was there. Bengals Director of Player Personnel Duke Tobin spoke today. I figured I'd get Jeff on to discuss it, and we'll have him on in a second. If you're new to the podcast, thank you so much for tuning in. Basically, what we do here, bring you Bengals content every single day. It's Monday through Friday. You can subscribe on iTunes, the iHeartRadio app, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast. And I have an off-season plan for the Bengals. LockedOnBengals.com. Check it out right now. Free agency. What veterans they should move on from. Getting them all set for the draft. Building the line. And getting the Bengals back to the playoffs in 2018. Please check it out. LockedOnBengals.com. Follow me on Twitter at James Rapine, at LockedOnBengals. Without further ado, let's bring in Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com, who joins us now. Jeff, I appreciate the time. How is the combine?
A little bit of a slow start here. not going to be a lot of intensity here, just kind of basically a big job fair. It's a good chance for us, though, to kind of get with some officials like Duke Tobin and some of the new assistant coaches, and a good place to touch base with them and see what they're see where they are, and trying to get this thing back on track during the off season.
It sounded like today, just looking at and hearing some of Duke Tobin's comments, he defended Marvin Lewis, said he could be the guy to get him back to the playoffs. It sounds like he was one. I think a lot of the public says it was just Mike Brown, but it sounds like Duke was in Marvin's corner as well.
Well, I mean, I think when you make a decision like that, it's basically, Mike is a driving force, but, I think Duke is a guy that that appreciates what Marvin's done in the up and down, ebb and flow of the league. You know, it's not always the scores of examples of personnel guys who aren't even close, and I think they feel like, this is a theme that the fans are sick of hearing about this, but, the decision was made because, of the talent they've got. And, I don't think that, we can debate that until the hereafter. You got to figure out how they're going to, how to use that talent, and thought the most interesting thing that Duke talked about was the impact of the offensive line coach, Frank Pollack. I think that's something that will be, I think that's going to be a big theme as we head into the draft.
Yeah, and I look at the offensive line. I think all of Cincinnati, honestly, is looking at the offensive line, how they can upgrade it, what they can do. And honestly, Jeff, I think it starts in free agency. I think going out and getting a proven commodity along the offensive line, not necessarily left tackle, because I don't think there's a lot of them out there, but just someone to go along with Clint Bowling could do wonders for that offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, but the problem is, how much is that going to cost? They're not going to do it in the first 3 weeks because the cost is going to be prohibitive. I think they will use free agency to upgrade, but I think they'll wait. They're not going to bust the market with a veteran, I think they'll see how this thing evolves, and I think they will use free agency to upgrade, but it's going to be, as they've done it in the past, second tier guys.
Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com, is our guest. Is there? I know Duke mentioned today. He talked about the draft as far as the tackles go, as far as the offensive line goes. Does he think it's a strong offensive line draft?
He does. He thinks it's a like he said in his news conference, there aren't any Orlando Paces out there, but there's a lot of good starting offensive linemen in the draft, as you go through, all 3 days. Obviously, that's good news for the Bengals because, I asked them, I think what's being underrated, too, is I think it's a good defensive tackle draft, too, and I think anybody who's been looking at this thing knows the places where the Bengals have fallen off in the last couple of years is the trenches. They have not been as robust or as stingy as they have been in years past. And, I could see a scenario, and Duke agreed, that if, they could spend the first 2 days and not get out of the trenches. You know, the two extra picks in the third, you know, they could get into the fourth round on the last day, and you know, and draft all offensive or defensive linemen. So I think that's something to, you know, I think that's something to keep in mind. And I also think too that you know, again, it goes back to Pollock. They may have guys who are already here that, in Pollock's scheme, are a hell of a lot better than they were. You know, and I think that's something to be played out too. So, you know, when I say a second tier guy, I'm not saying that guy's a. I mean that guy's going to be a starter who can play. You know, he's not going to be a. He's not going to get mega money, but he may be just as good as the guys getting the mega money. So, I think it all kind of fits together. You're trying to fit him into a salary structure as well as fit him into the scheme, into a new scheme.
As far as the free agents go, you look at it, Russell Bodine, Tyler Eifert. Those are the two that stand out the most. Do you expect the Bengals to try to keep both around, or what's your feeling on both Eifert and Bodine?
Well, I think that's kind of evolving too. I do think they'll try to keep both. How much? That's obviously the key question. I think they want both, but are they going to give Eifert a lot of guaranteed money when he's missed more than half the games that he's played? You know, than half the games that he's played. I mean, how much are they going to? If Bodag goes on the market, how much are they going to? Put out for a center? You know, I mean, I think that stuff that remains to be seen. I think how does Pollock feel about, you know, Bodag? How does he feel about the other guys on the O line? So, I mean, I think that. I think they make them, I'm not sure what they're going to do with Bodine. I think they really like his experience. I mean, and Duke mentioned this today. I mean, you know, you got a guy that's never missed a game, you know, and the late, great Pete Brown used to say the best ability is availability. Mm-hmm. So you get like two great contrasts hitting the market, Eifert and Bodine. One guy's never missed a game and one guy's missed one out of two. So, I think that's going to be a factor, certainly in the kind of contract that they would present to Eifert.
Jeff Hobson is our guest, Bengals.com. It has to be. I think it certainly has to be. I know Duke also mentioned John Ross and Joe Mixon, and it sounds like he described Joe Mixon as the bell cow back. But as far as John Ross, I know you wrote about John Ross, talked to him recently. What do you think he thinks or he's feeling right now going into year two?
Well, he seems pretty committed to proving to people that he's more than a combine, one day wonder. I think John's a hell of a competitor. Just the little bit of time that I've been able to spend with him and talk to him and talk to people that know him. So I think he was. I don't think he's very happy about how last season unfolded for him. You know, he said all the right things. You know, he said he didn't. You know, Marvin didn't fumble the ball. Marvin didn't run the run route. Marvin didn't get hurt. You know, he's the guy that has to. He's the guy that has to take responsibility. But I think a guy who's a the ninth pick in the draft, not getting any catches. I mean, I think that that burns. You know, I think he's obviously fired up, and I think they're banking on him. You know, they had their first round pick in 16, William Jackson, missed his rookie year, and he's now a one of the emerging young players in the league. And I do think that they think that Ross can be that kind of guy with that kind of speed and the way he runs routes. You know, I think they've, obviously you don't pick them in the first round and throw them away. So, you know, I think that they get too many receivers, you know, so that's going to be a big battle to see who comes and who goes.
Yeah, a couple more questions for Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com. That's actually a good segue with who goes. Is there any chance veteran-wise, there are three names, and I do this, one, because of an option with Adam Jones, but two, just because of where they're at in their career versus their contracts. What are the odds? Let's start with Adam Jones. Do Do you think the Bengals are keeping him around and going to exercise their his option in his contract for 2018?
You know, I wrote that today. It'd be hard for me to see him coming back at the same salary, given what Kirkpatrick and Denard are making and how well Jackson's played. I could see him coming back maybe at a reduced deal, but right now it would see probably 50-50 Adam comes back in my mind probably.
Two other names for you, and I know these probably haven't been written about, but just salary wise, I'll mention them to you. Michael Johnson, one, and two, Brandon LaFell. Any chance that either one of them they take a look at?
Well, I think Michael Johnson. I think he's got a role on this club. I think it's. I think he's Wallace Gilberry, a guy who can play both end and tackle on third down. You know, I think he was. You know, I think he kind of had his career revived a little bit last year with what he did inside in nickel. So I think he sticks around. LaFell, you know, tough guy to give up on. Solid veteran, terrific in the room. Really, really a great leader in the room. But you got a lot of young receivers running around, you know, and I just don't know. That's what I kind of alluded to before. I mean, there's not a help, you know. You got Corey, you got Ross, you got Josh Malone. I mean, at some point these guys get on the field, you know, and you got a 32-year-old guy like LaFell who you love. He's also taking snaps away from what might be your future, you know. I mean, that's it's a tough call, you know. But it's those are the tough, difficult calls that make rosters.
One last one for Jeff Hobson of Bengals.com. How do you think the Bengals are going to ultimately find a replacement for A.J. McCarron?
You know, I think it's going to be, we're going to go right off the 2014 blueprint there. I think they probably get a veteran guy in free agency. I think they'll draft a guy, you know, probably in the third day and probably attack it that way. I think a lot depends on Jeff Driscoll's situation. He's coming back from broke his non-throwing arm. And his rehab's a little, you know, his return is a little bit up in the air. I know they like him and what he brought to the table. A lot of guys think he's the most athletic quarterback they've had there. But is he going to be healthy? So I think they like him, but is he? You know, problem is you got there's nobody besides Andy that's thrown an NFL pass. So I think they're probably going to look for a veteran, and I also think they're going to take a little, you know. Maybe find the next AJ McCarron, maybe in the fourth or fifth round. It's a deep field of QBs, you know. So you might be able to get a good one fairly late. But I don't see them taking one much earlier than four. So unless they had an unbelievable fall, an Aaron Rodgers like fall in the first round, but. I think that's probably pretty much how do they replace McCarron? Just look at what they did in 14. They had Jason Campbell was a veteran, and they drafted McCarron.
He's Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com on Twitter, at Jeff Hobson. Jeff, I appreciate the time. Enjoy Indianapolis. I assume you're going to St. Elmo's every night.
Oh, yeah. I would, but I'm so fat I can't fit in the door.
Yeah, right.
They give you a lot of food. They give you a lot of food over there.
Do they? I've never been. They've never let me in the door.
Unbelievable. One of the top steakhouses in the country. There's a reason for that.
Yeah, I need to go. Jeff, I appreciate
it. You have to go.
I appreciate the time, man.
Thanks, James.
Good stuff there from Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com. On tomorrow's show, guess what you're going to get? Duke Tobin. You'll hear from the Dukester on all things, a couple things that Jeff Hobson referenced there. But we'll get the audio put together. You'll hear from Duke Tobin on a variety of topics, including Joe Mixon and John Ross, including Andy Dalton, including the A.J. McCarron situation, and so much more. Man, I really hope that what Jeff Hobson said there about adding tackle and free agency or adding offensive line and free agency, I hope they just look at my plan and use it. Check it out, LockedOnBengals.com. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I know it was short, brief, but it's to the point. Joe Goodberry will be on this podcast Friday. Tomorrow, you'll hear from Duke Tobin, the Director of Player Personnel for the Cincinnati Bengals. Until then, I'm James Rapine. Have a great night, and thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Bengals podcast.